The last time we spoke, you had just returned from Kyiv. You had done a concert with Kenneth Fuchs's American Rhapsody and Sophie Hsiao and you performing in the rain.
Yes, you have good memory.
It was a completely different experience than what you thought you were going to have. Since then, things, of course, have changed in your home country. And there have been several concerts at Jorgensen previously with Ukraine music. The Ukraine Symphony came and performed, and I think you were performing with them.
Yes.
This program of Ukraine music is a little bit different, but it's very special. How did it come about?
Yes, indeed, the program is very special. And I would like to go back and mention that the last time you and I spoke, it was October 2019, because I did the project performing Kent's American Rhapsody with the Ukrainian National Symphony in the summer, in July of 2019. Then the Ukrainian National Symphony was visiting Jorgensen at the invitation of Radnir Rak in November. And then February 2020, we all know what happened, mm-hmm. COVID. But then February 2022, again, the war changed and Russia started the war with Ukraine, a full-scale invasion, because actually the war began in 2014 when they annexed Crimea and some of the eastern Ukraine. This program is very special because I'm playing with very dear colleagues and music that I love. Derek Atkins, who is a cello professor at Juilliard and Oberlin, and Melvin Chan, who is a piano professor at Yale. And I recorded in June the trio by Vasil Barvinsky, as well as Stankovich Epilogues, which will be on the program at the Jorgensen. And when the war started in February 2022, Secretary of State Antony Blinken came to the Ukrainian Institute of America, and I had an opportunity to perform for him Vasil Barvinsky Trio, which he wrote. He was a student in Prague. Then when he came back to Ukraine, Soviets invaded Ukraine, Russians invaded Western Ukraine, and his music was burned in a conservatory courtyard because he was Ukrainian, he spoke Ukrainian, so he was labeled as an enemy of the people, and he was sent to labor camps in Siberia. In Siberia, he reconstructed that trio on wooden blocks, similarly to Gideon Klein, who was in a concentration camp, and he reconstructed his music on wooden blocks. So when Secretary Blinken heard the piece, he said that he loves it so much and we need to record it. So we did record it with the Grammy-winning producer Silas Brown back in June, and now we will have the opportunity to perform it at the Jorgensen Center. So I'm very excited to present that piece.
Now, this is a very interesting program. You have four of the icons of Ukrainian musical history there, but also you have three contemporary composers. So you have an interesting mix of the classical and the contemporary sounds coming out of Ukraine. Take me through your process on what you did with that.
Thank you for noticing that I do put a lot of thought into the programming. That concert at the Jorgensen Center, we will be presenting music of two Ukrainian women composers. One is Bohdana Froliak, and we will open the concert with her miniatures in C. Second composer is Catherine Lihuta, who was born in Kyiv, but now lives in Australia. But she'd been to University of Connecticut twice already as a resident composer, because she writes a lot for wind ensembles. And our wind ensemble directors, Janet Kim, just recently presented Catherine in concert. And it was so nice to see Catherine at UConn, who I met while performing Kent's music in Kyiv back in July 2019. So,
so you're bringing all your history together.
Correct. It's all, people from different walks, they all meet and come to UConn. So the stores, the center of universe and a meeting place.
Well, we talked about this in 2019 with Ken and Sophie, that for a major research one university, for UConn to have an arts program with Grammy winners, people who have appeared on stage in Broadway and in films and making television programs and things like that is very different than you would normally find at a big university. And you would only find these kinds of people at a self-contained music school, drama school, and art school.
We are very lucky that we have such a talented group of faculty and such talented students who go on to conservatories on full scholarships, sing at the Met. Several of my students won orchestra jobs, and I'm very proud of them. Principal of Louisville, Hartford Symphony. So we do our best. And yes, indeed, it's very special. We have a small program, but very lucrative and very productive. We are very productive faculty.
The classic Ukrainian composers that you are going to be performing, they're icons from the history of Ukrainian music in the 20th century. Major people who studied with major musicians and composers in the country and elsewhere. And as I recall, when we spoke the last time, the Ukraine National Symphony provided the first concerts for some major composers way back when.
Darren will perform a beautiful cello piece for cello and piano, actually, by Mykola Lysenko, who studied in Leipzig. And the story of Mykola Lysenko is that he went back to Ukraine and became this major figure of Ukrainian classical music. And he actually wrote an opera, Taras Bulba, and he was friends with Tchaikovsky. And Tchaikovsky said, hey, I will put production of your opera in Moscow, but you have to write it in Russian. And well, Lysenko said, no, thank you. So yes, the history of Ukrainian music goes way back, and I'm thrilled that we will be covering many generations and many periods of it.
When you put a program like this together and think about who should be performing with you, I know you have performed with Darrett Atkins and Melvin Chen, musicians that you're comfortable with and that know you, which is also important, because even though there's only one or two people there, you're essentially a band, as we would call it, in pop music. But you have to know each other's cues, and you have to get that eye contact at times to make sure that things are just right. How does that work for a classical violinist such as yourself?
You're right. We have to have good chemistry on stage. And something I would like to bring up, that both Darrett and Melvin played Ukrainian music with me way before the war. They were on a mission with me to promote Ukrainian music, and I'm so grateful to them, because with the war, they invested even more time into showcasing and bringing the light to Ukrainian music, but they started doing it way before 2022. They were curious about the composers. They also felt that the music of Ukrainian composers was neglected, and they shared my vision to promote it. Yes, we play very well together. Melvin Chen and I collaborated on many, many projects, and same with Darrett. In this concert at the Jorgensen, I wanted to showcase their solo talents as well. So we will play several trios, but I also wanted the audience to hear what wonderful solo performers they are. So Melvin will play a piece, three short pieces by Yakiv Stepovy, whose brother, Yakimenko, wrote violin pieces that I will play. So it will be a family affair. We'll be presenting music of two brothers who have very interesting story. Yakimenko fled to France because Russians were coming to eastern Ukraine, and he did not want to live under Bolsheviks. And he fled to France, and he died out of hunger on the street in Paris. And his music ended up in Paris Library. But growing up in Ukraine, I had no idea about him as a composer, because he was labeled as enemy of the people. So he was forbidden as a composer in Ukraine. And his brother, Yakiv Stepovy, stayed in Ukraine and wrote some, he was mostly a piano composer, wrote many piano pieces. And I knew of the brother, but I never knew of Yakimenko. And a very well-known Ukrainian conductor, Kirilo Karabets, introduced me to the music of Fedor Yakimenko, as he discovered his music in Paris Library while he was working in Paris. So there is a lot of history, untold stories that we will be telling our audience at the Jorgensen on October 8th.
So this is both a performance and an education session.
For all of us, yes. And sadly, the history repeats itself.
I don't know how many people are aware of this, but when you went back to Ukraine a couple of years ago, I think it must have been before all the COVID happened, you received a very big honor from President Zelensky. What was it like to be named a Merited Artist of Ukraine in 2021, which puts you at the top of the ranks of musicians in Europe and in your country?
Thank you. Very kind of you. It feels special because we all work hard, but it's nice when your efforts are being recognized. So I didn't expect to get that award, but I've been promoting Ukrainian music and been passionate about it since I was a child. So I'm very grateful for this honor and to represent Ukrainian and Ukrainian culture on the world stage.
We are at the beginning of another semester. You've got students you're dealing with. You've got performances that you're dealing with. What time do you have left to do other things?
Not much, Ken. If you have any tips,
don't look at the clock.
Yeah, if the day could be 30 hours long, I'm sure I would fill it in. I'm just so grateful. I love what I do, and I'm passionate about what I do. And every day goes by, and I do what I love, and it makes me happy, and it makes me satisfied. And I have a mission, and I think it's nice to have a mission and to fight for it. I'm very grateful to the University of Connecticut, the administration, the Global Affairs Office, but also to the Jorgensen Center and Rodney Rock that supports every idea I present to him, every concert idea. So thanks to the Lenore Chamber Series and Rod, we will be able to play some beautiful Ukrainian music on Tuesday, October 8th at 7:30 p.m., Jorgensen Center. Hope to see everyone there.